Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Open your Bibles. We're going to be beginning the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. And today, we're getting back to our series, the second part of our series called Followers. I guess we call it Followers Part 2. This is looking at the lives of those whom Jesus called to follow Him. And as we look at who, the type of individuals that Jesus called to follow Him, as well as their responses, we can learn some really valuable lessons, as I hope to learn today. Their examples should help encourage us and should help instruct us as all. So let's just kind of do a pop quiz, because this is going to be important for me. We started off, remember who we did the very first week? Matthew. What was Matthew? Very good, tax collector. And how were tax collectors thought of in society? They were ostracized. Yeah, they were the bad guys. They were despised. And so the lesson that we learned was God calls despised people to follow Him. And so, those people, again, you've heard me say many, 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 many times, and I just chuckle every time you try to share Christ with somebody and invite them to church, and they're like, if I walk in, the walls would fall down. They didn't walk down when any of you fell in. They didn't fall down when I fell in, so they're not gonna fall down when you come in. In fact, God calls the despised. Then we looked at two individuals, James the Lesser, and we looked at Judas, also named Thaddeus or Labias, and we saw how they were kind of wallflowers and hidden, and yet, so God calls people who, you don't necessarily have to be a type A person to be called into the kingdom. God calls individuals who are important parts. In fact, Paul says that he points special honor to things that the world may view as lesser parts. We then looked at Bartholomew. Anybody remember about Bartholomew? What was special about him? Remember, Jesus saw him coming up and said, hey, there's an Israelite in whom there is no... Anybody remember it? He said, look, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no, rhymes with big seat, deceit. I tried to help. Okay. Yeah, in whom there's no deceit. And we said that, I know, I just a stretch. I just couldn't think on the spot here. So, okay, so in Israelite, we talked about that he's a goody two-shoes, that God calls the goody two-shoes. You know, as we kind of, the church likes to make a big deal of extreme testimonies, but the fact is, you don't have to have some big, huge, rough, you don't have to have had, you know, a drug dealer and been stolen and blah, blah, blah. No, God calls people, good people, but good people still need to be saved. You don't get into heaven on your own merit, okay? And so that was an important one. Then we looked at Simon the Zealot. What was important about Simon the Zealot? He was a zealot. There you go. We saved that one. And a zealot meant that he was hyper-political. Wow, we don't have any of those any day now, do we? Do we? And he was passionate. He was passionate about his politics. So passionate that he would wake up in the morning and plot of how can I kill me some Roman today? You know, there's the truth. The zealots were known as these hyper-sensationalists, these hyper-radicals. And they often included, you know, carrying out murders upon Romans. And so God called him for his passion to be moved. So God does call the passionate. Now today we're going to talk about another disciple. But to start off our conversation, I'm going to ask you if you know this guy. Let's put his name's there. Anybody heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball. Everybody should know Edward Kimball. You don't know Edward Kimball? Oh, well, you know, he lived like back in the 1800s. Nobody knows him. He's not a Facebook friend. Well, he was a humble man. He had a normal job. He worked in dry goods. And he was asked to teach Sunday school, but he did it very, very reluctantly. He agreed, and he was faithful. And every week he would go to his Sunday school class. Now, those of you who've taught Sunday school, you may relate to this. And there was this one individual whom he really didn't connect with. In fact, during the Sunday school lessons, this kid, he said, would like look back and fall asleep. So he was doing well with the others, but this one kid he could never connect with, and it frustrated him. So he decided that he was going to go visit this young teenager because he worked at a shoe store. Then he got to the edge of the shoe store, but Edward Kimball was kind of, you know, he's like, I don't know if I should do this or not. And so he wimped out two or three times. And finally, he got up the courage to walk inside and to speak to his person in his Sunday school, this little teenager who was rambunctious, who really didn't care to be there. Why he was there, he didn't know. And he decided, I really want to try to share the gospel with him. And Edward Kimball left that moment thinking, I blew it. Have you ever tried to share Christ and thought, boy, I just messed that up. There's just no way. In fact, he writes of it. He said, I think I did a lackluster job of presenting the gospel that day. And yet the young man whom he shared Christ with wrote about that encounter. It was a new world. The birds sang sweeter. The sun shone brighter. Never have I known such peace. That young boy, the ruffian who'd fall asleep in Sunday school's name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, those of you who ministered around the Civil War time, D.L. Moody built Moody Bible Institute. And chances are, if you're listening to Christian radio or driving across the country, you're going to hear some station of the Moody Bible Institute. They've raised literally thousands upon thousands of missionaries, of ministers, all from one Sunday school teacher who thought he did a lousy job in sharing the gospel. Because it's not your job to save somebody. And you can think you do a lousy job, and literally, the fact that you cared enough to connect can mean something very powerful to individuals. And so that's kind of going to set up today who we're going to look at. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. This sets this up. In the Gospel of John, we find John the Baptist. Now, there's several Johns that we're going to hear about here. This is John the Baptist and two of his disciples. John had people who followed him. And they're having a conversation with two of these disciples. And so the next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" We're going to come get that in just a moment. He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two whom heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now this is interesting because in John's gospel, John very rarely refers to himself. He would say, "Oh, the one whom Jesus loved." He would talk about some weird term of endearment, but he wouldn't say John. And so what we see here is this is probably John the Beloved, not John the Baptist, John the Beloved and Andrew. And so John the Beloved and Andrew were with John the Baptist. They were his disciples. And John the Baptist gives us our first lesson today. Our first lesson is this. It's all about Jesus. Why do you say that? Because imagine, I mean, if you're sitting here and someone says, "Oh yeah, well, I like such and such church." Well, you can't leave our church. Why? Well, we get so possessive. The church needs to remember this lesson, that it's all about Jesus. And so John the Baptist lets us know he's pointing towards Jesus. It's not about First Christian Church. It's about Jesus. It's not about any, I don't care what name is outside of the church. If you're preaching, it's not about your church. It's about God's kingdom, which is about Jesus. I'm going to knock this over. So it is all about Jesus. And John the Baptist is fine. He's like, look, forget his ministry, forget his work. It's about Jesus. That's a lesson for us in our lives, in our ministry, to make sure that in everything we do, we are pointing towards Jesus, not towards ourselves. Because when we point towards ourselves, what we're really about is our preferences, is our agenda, is our properties, our projects, our wants, or our desires. It's not about us. Everybody say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Well, that kind of wimped out in the second half. Let's try that again. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. That's better. That's better. And so we see that, and it's important. In fact, John chapter 3, verse 30, John says this. This is John the Baptist. He says, "He must increase that I must decrease." It's not about John's ministry. All John's ministry is pointing people towards Jesus. And so in our lives, that's a lesson that we should learn. And so Andrew, I love this about Andrew, because now we're going to focus on Andrew. He's really wanting to engage. You know, he's not just wanting a quick lesson. He's not just wanting a Sunday morning service. He is wanting something much deeper. And so, gang, we have to ask ourselves this question. Why do you come to church? Do you come to church for an experience? Or are we going to be like Andrew? Where are you staying? Do we want to hang out with Jesus? Or do we want to get our frequent visitor card punched? Do we want to come and knock this checklist off of our box for the week? Wow, now I can get back to business as usual. I did the church thing. Check. Ah, now to get on with my week. I don't know what that was, but to be honest, now look, I'm not in a bad mood. The truth is, that is a legit question for us to ask ourselves. And we see something big. Andrew's not just wanting some quick experience with the Lord and Savior. He's wanting to understand. He's wanting to connect. He wasn't wanting to get entertained. He was wanting something deeper. My church family, I hope that that's what we want, something deeper. This is Andrew. This is what he did. We read it in this response. Where are you at? Let's hang out. And Jesus welcomed this. So yeah, we're discussing Andrew today. But we needed to stop and get that quick lesson from John the Baptist because it's all about Jesus. And so let's go on here in chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Okay, here's a wonderful thing about Andrew. I read this and it just jumped off the page at me. Andrew didn't just observe and learn what John the Baptist taught. He put it into practice. John the Baptist was like, look, let's push people towards Jesus. And now we see Andrew doing what? Pushing people towards Jesus. This is important. So my second point today, can you believe we're only 5 minutes into the message and we're at our second point? It's going to be a quick one, isn't it? Okay. Put into practice what you learn. What you learn. Put what you learn into practice. In other words, don't just be a hearer. So here's a really, really hard question. How many of you did your homework last week? Don't raise your hand. How many of you actually did your homework last week? Because do this, I, your pastor, felt inspired by the Holy Spirit to give a simple instruction to say, share with somebody close or somebody whom you love your story. Your story. If you struggle with it, come call me. Put it in the newsletter. Sent to Steeple Points out, probably annoying you to no end. To just ask this one thing. And here's why. And I get it. Now, if you didn't, please don't feel condemned. But I'm trying to tell the point. There is a reason, gang. We don't just come here just for an experience. This is not just a 1 hour out of your week or an hour and 5-10 minutes it might be today. Out of your week. Some of you just gulped. You said, no, it's going to be an hour exactly. But this is not just that time out of your week. We are here to put what we learn into practice. And what we see from Andrew is he imitated what he learned from John. He didn't just see it. He did it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul says, therefore be, let's all read this together. Ready? Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice for God. A simple task, gang. Other gospel accounts of Andrew say that when he received the call, he immediately dropped his nets and he followed. He was excited and ecstatic to share what he had found out about the Messiah. And so the truth is for all of us, we need to remember that we are responsible, everybody say responsible, for what we learn. You've always heard it said, you better practice what you preach. Well, we better practice what is preached. Because the fact of the matter is, when we've learned a lesson, we're held responsible for it. There's a good message for all of our teachers, all of our students. When we learn a lesson, we're held responsible for it. Look at how James says it. James kind of frames it a little better way for us. So James chapter 1 verses 22 through 27, you see the pastor's heart here in James. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Period. Now let's just stop right there. So what we can infer in this voice, in this verse is, if we are hearers and not doers, what are we doing to ourselves? Deceiving. If we listen and we don't do, if we hear the word and we don't put it into practice, we are involved in deception. Okay? That's important. Going on, 23. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, this is God's word, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be what? Come on, everybody. He will be? He will be? Do you want to be blessed? What does this word blessed mean? It means happy. It means approved. If you want to be happy, and if you want to be approved, do what Scripture says. Well, that just kind of puts a burr in my saddle. It's going to mess up my weekend plans. If I do God's will, I'll do that on Sunday, but Friday's my time. I don't know who that was. Who? Happy Days? Who is Gabby Hayes? Oh, don't, I just said Edward Kimball, and you're like, who's that? Yeah, I know the church guys, you know the worldly guys, there you go. All right, yeah, don't mess with me, Bible bullets. All right, so gang, the truth is this, honestly, we're supposed to put God's word into practice. And if God's word is inconvenient for us, we really have a bigger problem. A bigger problem. All I'm saying is be united in who you are. I would rather people like, oh, you know, they'll be in front of me and they'll just like curse a blue streak and they'll look, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, why are you sorry? You're being who you are. I would rather you be honest and be who you are. It won't bother me. But we can start on a foundation of honesty. Seriously. Which one? We just need to be honest. And start and get to that place. Because when we understand what God is offering us, He's not trying to cramp our style. He's trying to give us life. And life everlasting. And life abundantly. I kind of joke around. You know, I talked about some kids that I went to school with, and every now and then you connect with them on Facebook. And they're like, oh, do you remember when? Weren't those the fun days? I'm like, no, I wouldn't go back. I would not grow back. I would go back. I would not go back. I love my life. I love having a life that is full of purpose. I love knowing that everything, that you can have an impact eternally. I wouldn't change that. If anyone thinks he's religious, he keeps going here. But the one who looks intently to the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, oh, honey, that also means your comments on social media, by the way. I know it doesn't say you're typing, but they didn't type back then. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That also means you're posting and your comments and blah, 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 blah. If you don't bridle it, honey, you're deceiving yourself and is in your heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James a little bit later says, everyone who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I don't know how else I can tell us that the right thing for us to do is to be sharing Christ. Do you all agree with that? Do you all agree that we should be sharing Christ? Not all of us are ordained to be preachers. Not all of us are anointed to necessarily, you know, I'm not saying that we have necessarily a vocational calling to ministry. What I'm saying is all of us are called to share Christ, however God made you to do that. Amen? So if we know that that's the right thing to do, and we don't do it, I'll let you figure it out. Third point today. Can you believe that? Third point already. Some of you are like, good. Third point is I phrased it weird intentionally. Pushing people toward Christ. That seems kind of rude that we're supposed to push people towards Christ. But if we think about Andrew, who are the people whom Andrew shared and pushed, literally pushed towards Christ, who inspired, who kind of shoved towards Christ? First of all, his family. The first person he shared, he went to his family. Many of us, that's the last person we want to share Christ with. Right? Because they know us. And they know us and some of us in our ornery state. How many of you had an ornery state? Some of you had more than an ornery state. You had an ornery nation. You had an ornery continent. You maybe had an ornery hemisphere. And yet, we're called to do it. Andrew goes and he shares it with Peter. And then not just that, then to his co-workers, to James and John. Well, I could get in trouble doing that, preacher. Yeah, you can get in trouble not doing it either. I'm not telling you to get fired. I'm not telling you to get fired. I'm telling you to listen to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is right. And that's what we do. To push people towards Christ, your co-workers, to nudge them, to share Christ, to reflect Christ. The other one is times of crisis. So all these people, 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus women and children are out. They are running out of food. It's getting late. Some of the disciples are like, send them out. Let them go buy food in towns. And what does Andrew do? He finds a little kid with a few loaves and a couple fish, and he sends them to Christ so that Jesus can take his loaves and fish. Have you ever thought about that? He had enough for himself, and yet he pushed him towards Christ. Andrew helps people prioritize Christ, and that's how it happens. And we know the story. A miracle happened, and everybody had plenty to eat. And then we find this one. Who should we be pushing towards Christ? People whom we don't care for. John chapter 12, and this is our final scripture here today. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 23. Now let me set it up. Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and there was a feast. And at this feast, there were some Greeks, some non-Jews. Everybody go, ooh. There were some of those people. Let's pick it up. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Don't you think Philip just should have said, "Okay, I'll take you right there"? What did Philip do? I better go find Andrew. And Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and they made this connection. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." You know what, gang? Sometimes we need help to do the right thing. Sometimes we need help to do the right thing, and I believe that that's one of the lessons we can learn from Andrew. Andrew was that guy who helped Philip do the right thing. Some of us would like to do the right thing, but somehow we are unsure of it. That's why Jesus sent them out two by two. I try to encourage people in the youth ministry, and I try to that peer pressure is a very real thing. But you can also have some positive peer pressure. How many times would you act differently if someone who you respected in the ministry was standing right there with you? If you're going to ask Pastor Michael to come hang out with you on Friday, are all your actions going to be the same? No. I hope so. Otherwise, you don't know me very well. I'm saying we need help, sometimes encouragement to do the right thing. I'll never forget. First time I took a group of our kids and we went to Denver, Colorado, and we went out on the streets and we ministered to prostitutes and druggies. Yes, prostitutes and druggies. Why would they did they shake their hand? I hope they washed. I hope they use hand sanitizer. That's immediately. That's what goes through. And I'll never forget the first time sitting there and one of our young ladies just sat there with tears running down her eyes. Why? What's wrong? I'm just scared. You know what? I'm kind of scared too. How about if I go with you? I think that would be great. And shared Christ with a prostitute and a druggie. Important, impactful moments in life. We need people to help encourage us, right? Right? Well, we don't want to share Christ. What if druggies and prostitutes came to our church? I'd say hallelujah. We don't want one of them. No, well, guess what? We don't want who I used to be either now, do we? We don't want who you used to be either. You know who we really don't want in here? Mr. Pridemonger, who thinks that they're perfect. They're the ones who really screw up the church. Ouch. Bad preacher. Okay. Despite potential blowback, Andrew brought them to Jesus. And I love Jesus' response. Wasn't like, hey, let's talk. Wasn't it? Here's what Jesus' response. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He wasn't just talking about the fact that he was going to the cross. I believe that Jesus was saying, you are getting it. It's not a members only club. It's about sharing Christ. Simple fisherman, this was. You know, you think about Andrew, if I talk about, hey, name the disciples, I bet Andrew's not one of the first ones you name. Because we all know Simon Peter. Everybody knows about his big loudmouth brother. And yet Andrew is that quiet hard worker who's willing to go outside his comfort zone and lead people to Christ. Brothers and sisters, I hope we are as well. I hope we are as well. The rest of his life, he was spent continuing to spread the gospel through Asia Minor and Greece. He's said to have been martyred in southern Greece by the Romans. And when they went to crucify him, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Just nail me to an X. So they nailed him on an X-shaped cross so that he would not be crucified like his Lord and Savior Jesus. He felt unworthy for that comparison. Andrew wasn't afraid to share Christ, brothers and sisters, and he's a wonderful example to us. And my prayer is may we be bold and put Christ's teaching into practice as Andrew did. May we break down those barriers. May we not be hearers, but doers of the word. Amen. Amen. Stand to our feet. We're gonna sing the first and last verse of number 92, The Solid Rock. I'd like to pray for us if we could first. But Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your word to us and the lesson that we've heard today. And Father, truly help us in our lives to realize that our lives are all about you. And you made your life all about us, all about glorifying the Father. So praise, Lord, we pray today that you would soften our hearts, that we would not be bound by fear. As we sung this morning, that we're no longer slaves to fear, but we're emboldened to share your love with those who so desperately need it. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children's name. Brothers and sisters,
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. And also every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.